ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We're told about this. The word abundant in the Greek is parison, meaning exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more superfluous, a quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate. In short, Jesus promises us a life far better than we could ever imagine, a concept reminiscent of 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, I love that, don't you? You think, okay, this is what God has for me, and then you find out, oh my gosh, look at what he's done. And it just blows your mind away. The Apostle Paul tells us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he does it by his power, a power that's at work within us if we belong to him. In fact, if you think about it, the Bible tells us that wealth, prestige, position, power in this world are not God's priorities for us. For some, that is a priority, right? Health, wealth, and prosperity teachers, that's all they focus on. And they have the mansions. The people in the church pretty much don't. But they have all the mansions and the cars and the jets. But that's not what he's focusing on. In terms of economic, academic, social status, most Christians don't come from those privileged classes. And thus, abundant life doesn't consist of an abundance of material things. I mean, think about it. Solomon had all the material things you could ever imagine. Read Ecclesiastes. He had everything. I think it was Rockefeller who was asked, you know, how much more money do you need? And he said, just a little bit more. Why? Because you're never satisfied. You always want more. And here for Solomon, what did he find out when he lived his life this way? That it was all meaningless. It's empty. It's like a vapor. It just vanishes away. Paul, on the other hand, if you compare Paul and Solomon, was content in whatever physical circumstances he found himself in. Whether to have a lot or a little didn't matter. God was in control. And think about it. Is the Christian life a success if you live a long time? No. Some people live a very short time as a Christian. But what they've impacted the world in that short period of time is amazing. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's really about what it's about. Learning, practicing, maturing, also failing, recovering, adjusting, enduring, overcoming. True abundant life consists of an abundance of love, joy, peace, and so on. It's not in the abundance of stuff. Have you ever seen a U-Haul following a hearse? No, you can't take. Well, someone did put it on Facebook. There was a U-Haul following a hearse, but you can't take it with you. I remember, I think it was in Chicago. So, a rich woman was buried in her Cadillac, white Cadillac. I'm thinking, why? I don't think you need a car, right? When you're dead. Hope not. Because I have a hard time driving right now. And like you said, Scotty, it's tough out there on those roads. I think for us, why we struggle so much is because we're so focused on the physical right now. I'm not saying we should ignore it, you know, and be like the Stoics, it doesn't really matter, anything could happen, I don't care. No, but are we so focused on the physical that we miss what God is doing spiritually speaking? The physical is temporary, guys. It lasts for a short time. And it has to, over those years, it has to be replaced over and over and over again. But the life that Jesus has given us doesn't need to be replaced because we can enjoy it here and now and one day for eternity with him. In 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13, listen to what John wrote. He said, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of Son of God." Yes, apart from Christ, we are dead and in darkness. Colossians 2:13, Paul said, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." You were dead in your sins. Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." It was not a progression. You were becoming dark. No, you were darkness apart from Christ. There was no light in you because you didn't have Christ. But now you're light in the Lord. John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." There it is. If you want that everlasting life, then you need to come to Jesus. And notice it doesn't say, you know, you have to keep the law, go to church, tithe, do this, do that. You must believe in the Son, in Jesus, in that abundant life, that everlasting life is yours. And if you reject Jesus, guess who's controlling your life? The devil. And people freak out. "No one's controlling my life. I'm in charge of my life." Yeah, I got news for you. Someone is. You got to serve somebody, as Bob Dylan wrote in one of his songs. It's either going to be the Lord or it's going to be the devil. Those are the only two choices out there. I'm my own person. I could do whatever I want. And really, you're influenced by someone. And if it's not God, then it is the devil. And if you follow the devil, here's the tragedy. He's going to bring death and destruction to your life. People go, "Oh, no, not me, man. I'm having a great life now." John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." If you have not come to Christ, then you are allowing the thief, the devil, to come and steal away your life, to kill your relationships, to destroy you. Jesus is the source of life, abundant life, everlasting life. And it's only in him that we have that. You know, again, listen to what John says in 1:4 here. "And the life was the light of men." So it's not only life, this abundant life, but now he's light. To direct our paths, to guide us, to shine through us. I like that. In fact, we see that God has become flesh and dwelt among us. We'll get to that over the next few weeks in John 1:14, where John said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Amplified Bible puts it like this, "And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth." So not only did God become flesh and dwell among us, but the glory of the Father shined through Jesus. He was the light of the world, or I shouldn't say was, he is the light of the world. John 1:9, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." That light, that glory should shine in us. We're not the light, but the light of God does shine through our lives, guys. And I'll give you this picture, this illustration, even though it doesn't do it justice, but just bear with me. If you freak out about carving pumpkins, then just tune me out here. But imagine carving a pumpkin, very detailed. You know, it's a beautiful carving of this pumpkin. And you put it on the front porch, but there's no light in it, and it's dark outside. Can anyone see it? No. Oh, but it's beautiful. Yeah, but no one can see it. Why? Because it's dark. But if I take a candle or a light and put it inside that pumpkin, what happens? Oh, that light shines forth and you could see the beauty of that carving. How does that relate to us? When we come to Jesus, when we repent of our sins and ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our lives, we're saved. Jesus enters our lives. In other words, the light of the world is in us, and he shines through us. Now, we can cover that up. Remember what John's going to say here in down the road here in chapter 1. Less of me and more of you, Lord. I want to get out of the way so people can see Jesus. I don't want my ambitions or my ideas or my frustrations or my anger to get in the way so that when I see people, they can't see Jesus in me. They see me. And I think this is important. First life, right? That's what John's talking about. First life in Christ and then light. You can't have the light without the life in Christ. You can't have the light shining in you, the light of Christ, if you're not saved. That should just make sense. And what does that pumpkin do? It just shines, right? What are we to do? We're to shine for Jesus. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Did you notice Jesus said, "You are the light of the world"? That's interesting. In fact, that could be better translated, "You alone are the light of the world." How can an unsaved person shine for Jesus? They can't. Because the light of God isn't in them. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul said, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So the unsaved person cannot know the things of God when they don't know God. It's just impossible. Some of you remember a tweet by Senator Raphael Warnock this past resurrection service. He's an ordained minister. He deleted this tweet. Easter Sunday tweet because a lot of accusations of heresy. He's a Democrat from Georgia. He used his Twitter account to claim Easter transcended the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that both Christians and non-Christians can save themselves by doing good. Well, that is the story of the resurrection, isn't it? Are you kidding me? As my Italian family would say, "What's the matter, you?" And then the smack on the back of the head. He said, "The meaning of Easter is more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ," tweeted Warnock, who rose to national prominence as senior pastor of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s former church in Atlanta. "Whether you are a Christian or not, through a commitment to helping others, we are able to save ourselves." He deleted the tweet several hours later after being lambasted on Twitter as a phony pastor, false teacher, and for promoting false doctrine, blasphemy, and unbiblical theology. Now, some people say, "Well, isn't that a little harsh? He's a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's teaching heresy. There is nothing harsh about that. Go look and see what Jesus said to the Jewish religious leaders of his day. He did not hold back. Why? Because they were accountable to represent God before the people. And when they didn't do it, he lambasted them." And that's what we see going on here. One writer said, "This is a false gospel and heresy. We cannot save ourselves." Attorney Jenna Ellis tweeted, "The absolute truth and only meaning of Easter that matters is the literal, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we must accept him as Lord and Savior. Read Romans, Reverend Warnock. You're a false teacher." Hey, praise God there are still people out there that know what the gospel message is all about and know what Resurrection Sunday is all about. And they're willing to take a stand for it. How could he come to such wrong conclusions? Because it doesn't sound like he's saved. If he believes that you can save yourself, then something's wrong. Because the Bible says, "My righteousness," okay, righteousness, good works, "all the good that I do in this life are like filthy rags." If that's true, how could I save myself? I can't. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And he doesn't see that. So he's walking in darkness. And what is he doing? He is trying to get others to walk in darkness with him. Physically alive, spiritually dead. And it's interesting because most people, and really the unsaved, have this inborn fear towards both death and darkness. Isn't that interesting? They fear death and darkness. And what does Jesus want to give? Life and light. There's no fear. I can honestly tell you that this body is going back to the dust of the earth. It will not last forever. Praise God. But I'm going to go with Jesus. And I will live eternally with him in the light. At the great white throne judgment, after the millennial reign of Christ at the end of Revelation, where are the unsaved sent to? Outer darkness. They should fear that, because they rejected the light. And our whole purpose here is to bring them, let them see the light shining in us, that they too would come to the light. Because that life and light is only found in him. One of the problems today is because we want to be liked, the church wants to be accepted by the world, is we hide our light and we blend into the world. We become more like darkness. We're covering up that light that's in us, and people can't see Christ. Sometimes the light's kind of dim. What do we do? What if our light's not shining as brightly as we want it? Well, there's a story about a man that was returning from a journey. He brought his wife this little matchbox that would glow in the dark. And he gave it to her. He was kind of excited. And she turned out the light, you know, to see how it would glow. Nothing. Absolutely, not even a little glow to it. It was dark. And they both thought they had been cheated. And the wife noticed that there were some French words on the box and asked one of her friends to translate them. And this is what the inscription said. If you want me to shine in the night, keep me in the light. We have to be in Christ. Dwell in him. Delight in his word. Spend time with him. If you want to shine in the night, keep your eyes on the light. And I think that's our problem sometimes, is that we're not shining because we're not spending time with the Lord. Life and light go together. We come to saving faith, then we got that abundant life. And then the light of Christ enters us. That shining bright light shines not only in us, but through us as Jesus is living in us. Here's the thing that many don't understand, is that once we come to that saving faith, there is a war going on. There is a battle that is going on. And you may have heard people say, well, just accept Jesus and your life will be perfect. You won't have any problems at all. Again, what's the matter, you, right? Are you kidding me? Where does it say that in the Bible? Look at the stories in the Bible. Look at just Paul's life and all that he went through. Everywhere he went, he was encountering trouble. You know, he'd first go to the synagogues and they would kick him out. Sometimes they would stone him. He was shipwrecked several times, beaten, thrown in jail. It wasn't an easy life, but he knew this body's temporary. These are just temporary sufferings, but what lies ahead is eternal, and man, it's glorious. And that's what kept him focused. But there is this battle to put out the light, to extinguish the light. Look at John 1, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, some of you are older like me, and you may remember Simon and Garfunkel. They were a music group. And back in 1975, they had a song called Slip Sliding Away. And it spoke of the fact that the nearer he got to his destination, the more he was slip sliding away. I not only see this in America, I see this throughout the world. There is no direction, and the closer people think they are getting to where they want to go, they just can't reach it. And farther into darkness, they're slip sliding away. And many aren't even aware of it. I mean, look at it. you know, with these elections, whether you think they were fixed or not, I'm not going to go into that because that's not my point. My point is the reason they want President Biden as the president of the United States was because they thought he would solve all the problems. So they're trying to get closer and closer to their destination, and they're slip-sliding away. And look how far away we are. Look at the darkness that has come in. When John says the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, there's a couple meanings that can be related to that word, and I think they both apply. As the light of God was shining, many didn't understand it. Their eyes were blind to the truth. And God will give light to those who seek the light, and for those that don't, they remain in darkness. But the word also, comprehend, can mean to extinguish. In other words, the light has come into the world, Jesus Christ, and the darkness will try and put it out. And it's not going to succeed because the word's going to be victorious despite the opposition. But believe me, the battle continues on, and I think the battle is getting more intense in the days that we're living in, more intense than we've ever seen before. I mean, we look at immorality and how it's grown in this country and just go, I'm just dumbfounded by it, and I shouldn't be. Because when you turn from God, these are the results. Why is it growing so much? I think the devil knows his time is short, and he wants to destroy as many lives as he can. And he's done a really good job in the church thinking the church has to protect itself and save itself, and it's all about what they are going to attain. And our mission is not by making life easier for us. You know what the mission is? To bring the gospel to the lost. Because I know where I'm going. No matter what the world throws at me, I'm with Jesus. But all those people that don't know Jesus, what's going to happen to them? Outer darkness. And we need to change our focus and have the focus on the lost. That's why, to me, one of the greatest things we do with Vacation Bible School is to instill in these kids the love of Jesus Christ. To tell them that they are important and that God loves them so much that he died for them. You give them that message, the gospel? Of course we do. We don't go tiptoeing through the tulips. We give them the truth. And every year, we give them the gospel message because it's that important. And they take it home to their families who may not be saved, their grandparents, their friends, because it's that important. Why does it make sense that darkness is expelling the light? No. How does darkness expel light? That makes absolutely no sense to me because it has no power to do that. And yet, for many of the light of Christ has gone out, and the darkness is growing stronger and stronger. Look at the church today, and not every church, but many have embraced the homosexual agenda, the transgender agenda, the Black Lives Matter, the Antifa agenda. They're allowing sin into the church, and they are allowing the darkness to come in because they refuse to shine the light of Christ. We are to be a light in a world that's in darkness. Just as Jesus was, right? Don't let the darkness put out your light or dim it. Let it shine. Think about what happens with darkness when you turn on the light. It's extinguished by the light, isn't it? I mean, go check out bars. Why are they so dark? Do you ever think about that? Because you can do your sin in the dark bars and no one could see it. If you had a bar that had bright lights, no one would be in it because you'd see them. You keep it dark, dim, so the sin can be done. When I look at what's happened again in this country, wow, how far. I mean, we are going into a socialist, immoral society, and we're excited about it. We're promoting it. I mean, read some of the things that our governor has done, Governor Evers, to promote the gay agenda. Look at some of the things he's passed and what he wants to do. He's promoting sin. And have you ever seen so much gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever, on the television as you do today? I was watching some science fiction. It was crazy sharks. It wasn't Sharknado, even though I do love Sharknado, I have to admit. But it was some crazy shark show that it grew big and was destroying this place and stuff. But in one of the commercials, and it was on Sci-Fi Channel, was I think about, I don't even remember the little creature's name, but he was a little like a puppet type thing. And it was a horror thing. But the guy who wrote it said, you know, I've been writing into the script the LGBTQ agenda. I've been putting this into the script. Like, really, that's what you're promoting? I kind of forgot that it was, I guess, the month or week for LGBTQ. But I thought, wow, this is what's going on.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.